Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Open to the book of Isaiah, and then go put your finger in the book of Luke. The book of Luke chapter 2. So Isaiah and Luke, and then if you're really, really a good student, you're going to put your hand over in Hebrews 11 after that. So we got a little journey. You got five fingers. I still got several other scriptures we could throw in there. We had the chance to go shopping yesterday. I went to the shopping mall in Springfield yesterday on the way back from a contest to do some Christmas shopping, and man, was it chaotic. I love the little story of the boy who found a lady's purse in a shopping mall, and he returned it to her, and she was very, very, very thankful, and so she opened the purse and looked inside and said, "Well, this is strange. I had a $20 bill in here, and now I don't have a $20 bill. I have $21 bills." And the young man said, "Well, ma'am, the last person I found their purse for didn't have change for a reward." So we decided to... Christmas shopping's crazy, isn't it, folks? A couple weeks ago, we had Thanksgiving, and then the day after Thanksgiving is this chaotic, crazy, crazy mess where everyone tries to go and have peace on earth and goodwill to men by arguing over televisions and electronics and who can grab the most in their shopping basket. And ironically, tragically, six people on Black Friday, as they call it, were shot during Black Friday sales, and including a Walmart customer who died in a fight over a parking space. There are four separate shooting events, and one in New Jersey, in a Macy's. There were two in two different Tennessee malls, and then the Nevada Walmart. Two individuals were killed that day, and four more were wounded. And the attacks all happened outside of these stores as people were trying to do their shopping, and due to the hustle and bustle of the deals that were drew the customers in, and along with the customers, some stress and anxiety. But also, just prior to that, we saw at OSU campus in Ohio, a Somali immigrant who urged America these words: "By Allah, we will not let you sleep unless you give peace to the Muslims. You will not celebrate or enjoy any holiday." This Abdul Rezek Ali Artin then drove his car into a crowd of individuals on the Columbus campus before exiting the car and charging at others with a knife. 11 people were hospitalized as a result of this attack. Doesn't that sound like an odd way to strive for peace? But I know some of you are like, "Wow, this is a really uplifting sermon so far. Where are you going to go with this?" And I understand, but sadly, the truth is so much of what we search for and what we seek after to bring us peace ultimately does not bring us peace, but actually pushes peace further away. Now, we'd all agree that from our busying schedules to world conflict to the enormous divisions that we feel even within our country and even in some of our communities, that we all have a longing for real peace. Can we just be honest? Don't you all want peace? Don't you want comfort? We have a longing, but how could peace come in times such as this? Now, if we think about the prophet Isaiah, the situations and the circumstances around Isaiah's prophecies were not a whole lot unlike some of the things that we have seen in these images. Isaiah lived in a time that was deeply divided. He lived in a time where chaos was ensuing. Thank you, Ellie. And, so if we see this and we see that, how do they gel together? I mean, it's kind of rough. 2,700 years ago, Isaiah prophesied. And Isaiah's prophecies, again, as we spoke over the last several weeks, the nation was deeply divided to the point where the northern kingdom was here, and the Israel and the Assyrian Empire through judgment of God, because they had forsaken his ways. The Assyrian Empire had come down and pretty much wiped them out, and now they were surrounding Jerusalem. And so as the Assyrians surrounded Jerusalem, and we have a divided nation, we have chaos, we have people dying, we have real issues, and then on that backdrop, we have this promise that Isaiah gives us. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. To those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yet what's so interesting is in the midst of all of the chaos that Isaiah was experiencing, this is the promise. But then again, Jesus' arrival was anything but peaceful. Yes, we're drawn to that. Aren't we drawn to that nativity scene? We like that. Doesn't that look peaceful? We want to go skip forward to Christmas Eve and light our candles and sing Silent Night. Isn't that wonderful when we do that Christmas Eve? I love, that's one of the high points of my year. I really love that. But if we want to be honest, we look at that, that's really not reality. That looks peaceful. It looks serene. But the birth of Christ was anything but peaceful. Was anything but serene. In fact, we kind of have it wrong. I mean, these wise men, these magi, didn't show up on the night Christ was born. It happened quite a bit later. I mean, it works for us in terms of, hey, creating an image like that. And we have this, you know, this beautiful Caucasian baby there, which, okay, we're not really correct in a lot of those things either. And we see so many of these. Mary was a teenage girl who was separated from her mom, her family at this time. She was taken on a trip. Now, this wasn't an age of great health care now, mind you. I mean, we're living, you know, way back. And pregnancies were riddled with difficulty. And this was a high-risk pregnancy. And now she's taking a journey. And those of you who've been pregnant before, I bet you don't enjoy traveling when you're really close to giving birth. That's probably not a wise thing now, is it? And yet, why did God suddenly mess up? Did he not understand it? Did this catch him by surprise? Or was something more being planned out here? Think of the social outrage of the time. I mean, we're talking about Nazareth. We're talking about a time when to have a child out of wedlock, this was scandalous, and you were thrown out. Even though the angel came to Mary and said that she was going to be with child through the Holy Spirit, and that she was going to give birth to a child and name him Jesus, and he was going to save the world, you know. Even though that promise was given through the angel, I bet that the people at Nazareth didn't necessarily take too well to that promise as she shared. I bet that they're, oh yeah, sure, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It's a holy thing that you have. More than likely, they thought she was making it up. Think about Joseph. Again, as we kind of talked last week, Joseph was more than likely an older gentleman who had worked. He'd probably worked and saved up enough money for this arranged marriage, as was the custom at the time. And so now his young bride, who he had waited for, and was all of a sudden pregnant. So Joseph had, as we read in Scripture, his mind that he was going to put her away. He's going to divorce her quietly and just kind of do some things and make the best of a really tragic, bad situation. And yet the angel of the Lord came to him and told him to not be afraid. The angel of the Lord told him that in fact the King of Kings was going to come through him. And so we have all of these things coming together. Mary's age, her stress, the travel, there are some real dangers here. How in the world could this be the birthplace of the Prince of Peace? Now, did God just mess it up? Was this all random? Was this chance? Or maybe was there something more in play? Maybe, in fact, in the timing of Christ's birth, because it was foretold by Isaiah. You see, if we go back and we look at Isaiah's prophecies, as well as some other prophecies about when and where and how the Christ child was to be born, how the Messiah was to come, it's scary how accurate they were. And so it wasn't random. God was intentional in all of this stuff, but how could the Prince of Peace come out of chaos? How as we try to celebrate Christmas and we see all around us almost verging on insanity. My wife and I, as we were journeying back from watching our daughter in a dance competition yesterday, we stopped at White Oaks Mall, and that's a zoo. So we had to park at Texas Roadhouse. I don't know how that happened. Okay, so we stopped and had a meal. Okay, so it's just... But I tell you what, it was crazy. And as we try, I'm not kidding. We tried to find a parking space. We drove around and around and around. There wasn't a parking space to be found anywhere. And you get into the mall, and it's just crazy. At the time, it was ridiculous. And yet, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. When I look at the malls and I look at those other events, peace on earth and goodwill to men is not honestly the words that creep into my mind. More like greed or commercialism or just craziness. So let's look at this promise of peace, because Isaiah says, you know, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he tells us that is what his name is going to be, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So let's examine this promise. In fact, if we look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, we're going to find a little bit more about this promise of peace, because it seems anything but peaceful. And the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, chapter 2, verse 8, we read, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." I would be too. If I'm outside and all of a sudden I see a bunch of angels floating in the sky, I'm going to be filled with fear, to be quite honest. I wish I could have more faith in that. Maybe I would be, but I think my first thing is, what? Because I don't see angels every day, do I? And if some of you do, please set an appointment. Let's talk, because I'd like to learn about this. "And the angel said to them, of course, fear not." Why? Because they were afraid, just like I would be. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for..." I can't ever read this verse without thinking of Linus. In the Charlie Brown Christmas. I can't ever read this verse without hearing Linus's verse as he goes through and he reads this. But okay, so I'm not going to try to imitate that, because I can't. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day," sounds familiar, "in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and here's the clue that we need to look at, because we miss this a lot. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, I really like the English Standard Version, because it's a little more accurate in conveying to us outside, in the breaking down the language barrier. I really do kind of appreciate this. Now, it's not as poetic as some of the others, but look at this. "On earth, peace among those." So in other words, there's a group of people who on the earth who are going to be able to experience peace, but who are those? "With whom he is pleased." Well, that's a little intimidating right there. Did your angel declare that everyone on earth is going to have peace? No. That's not, in fact, not what was declared. What is this promise to peace, and to whom is it given? You see, the truth is, there are those who use this logic. They say that because of events such as the shooting on the Friday after Thanksgiving, there are those who say that because of terrorist attack like we saw on the Ohio State University campus in Columbus, there are those who say that because of sicknesses and because people do things that are horrific, that because of bad events, because of sickness, of illness, of death, that there is either A, no God, or that B, there is a God who is out of control, or C, as Bette Midler sings, that God is watching us from a distance and somehow he is indifferent. That was my pop song reference for the day. And the truth is, there are those of us who walk around, and that's our theology. From a distance, God is watching us. I got to tell you, He's watching you, but it ain't from a distance. In fact, if we really understand the promise of peace on earth, on whom he is pleased, or whom His favor rests, which is another translation that we'll see, we're going to begin to realize it's something better. God is not indifferent. God is not out of control. But what is this promise? Can we have peace on earth? Because I sure want it. As I walk around through the stressful times that we have, as I look at my calendar get packed, anybody else with a packed out calendar? I mean, goodness gracious, today I look, we're going to have church, which I'm really happy about. I can't wait to go to a high school music concert and hear all the high schoolers. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be great. And then I'm really looking forward to Christmas caroling. You know what I'm looking forward to even more than that? Is getting home and having some peace. Now, are all those things good? Yes, they're great. They're wonderful. I'm saying that there's something, though, that I long for. As I just listen to that, all is well. Don't you want that? Even though that's not realistic, I'm drawn. I want that peace. I want to be part of the manger scene and be like, can we do a living nativity? How about that? Yeah, one more thing on the schedule. No. Well, here's the good news, guys. And I guess this is what I want to convey to you today, is I kind of see everybody, the stress level rising and rising, and even in my own house, in my own life, the good news that is even no different than what was promised by Isaiah in Isaiah's circumstances is no different than what was reminded or echoed down through the ages as the angels shared this promise to Mary and to Joseph, and it comes to us even today. The promise around the birth of Christ attests that we can have God's peace in spite of what's going on around us. In spite of what's going on around us. In fact, if we look at the Gospel of John, John records these words of Jesus. He says, "Yet I am not alone." Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. "Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace." Let me read that again. "That in me," this is Jesus talking. Jesus says, "In me you may have." There's a key there. And then he goes on to tell us, "In the world you will have tribulation." Boy, I've experienced some tribulation. I'm looking forward to pulling 2016 off the calendar. We've had medical thing. We never have medical issues. Everyone in my family's had medical issues this year. And every medical issues, they always have bills attached to them. I'm looking forward to just some peace. He says, look, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but take heart. Another translation says, be of good cheer. And he tells us why. I have done what? Now, come on, you all said that like, he's overcome. Thank you very much. That's like, you know, Black Friday. No, overcome. I get it. No, I've overcome the world. And that's great news to each one of us. And here's why. Because God's peace has very little to do with our circumstances. And that's kind of crazy. That kind of blows our mind. But in spite of that, again, let's go back. That's not accurate. It's pretty and it's great and I love it. And there's some legitimacy to that. I'm talking about the manger scene up here, our nativity scene up here. But the bottom line is, when this is why it had to happen the way it happened. This is why Mary had to have such a road to travel that was difficult. And the birth of Christ was complicated and it was scandalous. And it was fraught with all kinds of stressful-ish situations around. Because this, God gets it. I don't care where you are, God gets it. You can fill in the blank. If I'm dealing with stress, boy, God understands stress. He understands because Jesus came to earth. Jesus understands what you're going through. Grief, yeah, Jesus understands grief. God understands grief. All of those things. He talks our language. They didn't have possessions, they didn't have things, and yet they know what it's like to go through times. And so this is why it's important for us. It's because that we can have peace in the midst of our turmoil. I mean, Jesus did not make Mary's road any easier now, did he? The birth of Christ. In fact, it complicated the situations. But what she found out was that God was with her in the midst. And guys, this is the joy that I have for you and the peace that I have for you today is that makes all the difference. I know this. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now the truth is, God never promised to change your circumstances. He never promised that. You see, and there are some people, and that's the theology they preach. And I've told you this before. I struggled a lot my first few years walking as a Christ follower because the theology that was presented to me was this. If you get in a relationship with Jesus, all your problems will go away. And that was presented. You know what? You need to give your life to Jesus and then your life is going to be great. And there were people who came up and their testimonies were like, yeah, I used to be a druggie or I used to be this and I used to be that. And then I found Jesus. Now my life is wonderful. It's almost like an infomercial. Here's the deal. My personal experience wasn't like that. My personal experience was after getting in a relationship with Christ, things got difficult. I lost loved ones. I had to bury people who I loved, who I prayed for their healing, and it didn't happen. I struggled with different times, with different seasons in my life, with different things. And yet through that, I began to find something that I wasn't alone. So God didn't promise to change my circumstances, but what he did promise is that I would not be alone. And to this fact, I can attest to you, he's never left nor forsaken me. And perhaps some of you will begin to understand that as well. In fact, the truth is that many times I've prayed for God to change my situation or my circumstances when all along what began to happen is I allowed God to begin to change me. Will you allow God to change you in the midst of your circumstances or situations? So can we have peace on earth? Yeah, we can. And that's good news. But we look at this, it's a little more complicated. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, now I'm struggling because that to me sounds like a conditional promise, doesn't it? Okay, come on, let's think logically now. On earth, peace among those, so it's a specific group of people, with whom he is pleased. Well, now that leaves this big question. How can I please God? Ooh, 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 call on me. I'll tell you, somebody call on me. Quick, call. Chuck, call on me, please. Oh, thank you for calling on me, Chuck. Here's why. I do things. I do good things. Because after all, I got to tell you, when I do good things, and I do try to do a lot of good things, I feel good. Wah, 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 wah. I knew that I would. Okay, that's not in the hymn book. We're not going to sing that. I do. How many of you do good things and you feel good? Yeah. Now here's the thing. Many of us try to do good things and we feel good and we equate that with peace. I'm meddling. You know, they always say that at one point the preacher will stop preaching and he'll start meddling. This is that point. We are missing our understanding of what peace is when we think that we attain it through our actions. In fact, we're cheapening it because peace has nothing to do, guys, peace has nothing to do with an emotion. Peace is not the cessation of hostilities. And that's what we think, oh, a peace treaty. We're going to stop the. That's not the biblical understanding of what peace is. The biblical understanding of peace is something that transcends circumstances, something that transcends. That's why the promise of peace on earth was given by Isaiah in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a nation surrounding and pressing in by the Assyrians. It was re-given through Jesus and the birth of Christ and all the crazy circumstances around him. And again, people were put to death around Jesus' birth. And decrees were given for male babies to be put to death. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't preach well in our great nativity scene. We see all these things happening, and for us today, the promise of peace transcends. So how in the world can we? Because I'm not a perfect person, and I know all of you enough to know that none of you are either. So how in the world can an imperfect person be pleasing to God? It ain't about doing good deeds. That makes you feel good, and it should, because it's great. And I want to encourage you to do good deeds. But that is not how we attain peace. So how can we? Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to kind of put a bow on this present here today. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And verse 2 is our key verse. For by it the people of old received their commendation. You know what a commendation is? When you do something well, you receive a commendation. You are commended. You are praised for doing something right. So how were these people of old, how did they receive a commendation? How were they pleasing? By, rhymes with shmaith. There you go. By faith, they were pleasing. Well, let's go on. Verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to do what? Well, now, we see a connection here with on earth peace on whom he is pleased. And here we see, without faith, it is impossible to please. So, faith is the key element. Faith in what? For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Chapter 12 is where we see this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God's peace is not a mental exercise. God's peace is not a psycho-emotional state of mind. God's peace is not positive thinking. God's peace is directly related to this, putting my full trust, and I mean your full trust, in this fact that God loves me, and that God sent Jesus to die for me, that I can have relationship with him. Or maybe I could make it a little clearer in this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him or puts their full trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when I get this truth, and I believe it, and I put my full trust in that, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. It doesn't matter what person cuts me off in the shopping mall. It doesn't matter what's on sale, what's not on sale, what the doctor says at my next doctor's visit. None of that matters. What matters is eternity has been given to me, and nothing in heaven and earth can separate me from the love of God found in Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to take a breath. That's the truth. I mean, that should resonate deep within your heart. That should stir something in. Now what happens when we get this? I do something and I feel good about what I do. Be careful about that, because that can be the prelude into legalism. That can just knock at the door, where then we find, well, if I feel good, that means I'm in the right place. The bottom line is this. There are times in my walk, think about Mary. She's walking, and things seem to go from bad to worse. Did God not love her? No. Was God near to her? Yes, God was near to her. And he's near to us as well. I don't get peace from that. And Chaz, you can hit that play. I get peace from knowing that God loves me, and knowing what he has done for me. You see, no circumstance from the outside can change it. No storm in my life can separate me from it. No crisis can diminish it. On earth, we can have peace. And this is a peace that transcends any of our earthly circumstances. It transcends the bill collectors. It transcends all of these things. The peace that God offers us is peace with God. Peace peace with ourselves and peace with others. Want that peace? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You see, my church family, peace is offered to all of us on whom he is pleased. And he is pleased with us not by our actions. He's pleased with us through our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And that peace, it passes all understanding. That's what Scripture tells us. That peace will not forsake us as we hold on to it. And so my prayer for each one of us as we journey through the remainder of this Advent season together, sometimes we think that to have peace, we have to stop, we have to separate, we have to withdraw. And I mean, there might be some wisdom in that. But the peace that God really offers us is in the midst of everything, a change of perspective that he is with us. That we can have peace with our God, that we can then have peace with ourselves, and then we can share that love with those around us, maybe those inside of the same chaos that we're dealing with. We can share the fact that there's a God that's greater than all these stress and anxieties. Would you stand to your feet and let's pray together that we can experience.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.